We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Right now we're going to talk some NBA. We welcome in now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Keith Smith, contributor for Yahoo Sports NBA. He's all over the place. Real GM. And Keith, you got a new gig. Can I talk about that yet, or have you announced it?
NBC Sports? Yeah, well, I guess I just talked about it, right?
We're not going to get you any trouble, are we?
No, not at all.
All right, perfect.
Hey, Keith, the Bucks are in a pretty good position here. They got a pretty healthy roster. They got the best player in the world right now, you would think, in Giannis Antetokounmpo. That all-star criticism that he got on Sunday night, fair or unfair that Giannis was criticized by a lot of the national media for going 0-for-2 in the fourth quarter of his team in a loss for Team Giannis on Sunday night in Chicago?
I think criticizing any player for anything they do in an exhibition game is a little nonsensical. Mm-hmm. As much as they raised the stakes and they made it more competitive and guys were going at it a little bit, it's still at the end of the day, it's an exhibition game. This is a guy who came into All-Star Weekend 2 fresh off having a new baby, and who knows where his headspace was at. So I think any criticism he's taken now is pretty off base, and it's not going to have any kind of bleed over into the remainder of this regular season and the playoffs. I think those who are drawing those connections and trying to connect those dots, that's a big, big stretch.
You know, Keith, Giannis is only playing 30.9 minutes per game. He's averaging 30 points per game. In your opinion, let's say you're building a franchise in a decade. Who do you think's the next face of the NBA? Because I'm a big Luka guy. Obviously, Giannis gets a little bit better every year, although he's taking some criticism right now. Ja Morant's out there, Zion Williamson. If you're starting a franchise, who do you think's going to be the face of the NBA in 10 years?
Yeah, in 10 years, that's such a long time. It could be someone who's not even in the league right now, because if you even think about a guy like Giannis, you're talking about he'll be in year, 17 in 10 years?
Yeah.
So that's a question, if these guys are even still going to be around. You probably initially want to say someone like Zion, who's a rookie and is only in year one, but he'll be, in the latter stages of his career. I think we've been swayed almost a little too much by the fact that LeBron is still doing what he's doing at his age. Those guys are outliers. Players are playing later into their careers and more productive. Health, training, rehabilitation from injuries, all that has gotten more important and able to work better. But it's just it's tough to see anybody picking, and I don't know enough about the kids who are in the sixth and seventh grade
right
to make an educated guess on that. But if you're talking to me about who do I want to grab to start a franchise with and hopefully have for the next 10 years, it's very hard to pick against Giannis for where things are at right now, because he's still only 20 turned 26 years old, or 25
yeah,
26 until much later this year. I'm happy to take him, because at least 7 or 8 of those years are probably going to be really, really good.
Right. I guess everybody can't be Vince Carter. The Bucks are fourth in offense in the NBA. They're first in defense. They're so damn good that we're almost running out of things to talk about, because they have no drama. It's not like the Kyrie Irving situation in Boston last year. They just continue to win and beat up on teams. But you look around the rest of the Eastern Conference, and there's still some people that aren't sold that the Bucks have that closer that could take over a game in the fourth quarter. People aren't sold they could get past Philadelphia in a 7-game series, or hell, even Toronto once again. And if you have to make a prediction today, who do you think's coming out of the Eastern Conference to represent in the NBA Finals? Would you go the Bucks, or are you looking more at a team, maybe even like Miami?
Yeah, I would mean Milwaukee, just because they've been so good this season. And the question remains, as it has with Mike Budenholzer teams for years now, going back to his Atlanta days, is can he make adjustments and change when we get into the playoffs? Playoff series about who makes the first adjustment and then what's the adjustment to those adjustments from there. And Budenholzer's kind of been the guy, even, like you said, back to his Atlanta days of – I do what works. I believe in my system. I believe in what we're doing, and we're going to go. Now, that said, he's got a deeper roster than he's had probably at any point in time. His guys are going to be fresh. You know, one of my favorite stats is Giannis is the only guy on the team who plays 30 minutes a night because they're destroying everybody night-to-night basis. So that's, you know, a lot of fun to go into that approach with, you know, these guys are healthy and ready to go. But I think they're going to be challenged. I don't think it's going to be a walkover in the Eastern Conference because I do think that there's anywhere from another 3 to maybe 5 really good teams in the East that can make things, you know, interesting for the Bucks. They should breeze right through the first round matchup. And you almost wonder about that a little bit too. If you sweep through Orlando or Brooklyn or somebody like that with no challenge, and then in the next round you're gonna play Miami, Philadelphia, Toronto, Boston in the second round, you're gonna be, you know, caught off guard a little bit. But for right now, they should be the overwhelming favorite because that's how good they've been in the entire league as a whole.
You know, but you're 46-8. You don't have too many flaws in the team, but if they would get beat in a, like a conference finals by Toronto, what would have to go wrong for these guys? Where would their weakness be?
Yeah, I think what you would look at is a team that can attack the drop style of defense when Brook Lopez is in there and get after that and get good shots out of that. You have to be patient enough to work for it. You can't just take the first okay shot. You got to wait and work for a good shot. And a lot of teams, unfortunately, aren't patient enough to do that. I think if a team has enough ability to wall off the paint, make it a little bit difficult, you're not going to stop Giannis at this point. You're just, you know, to throw back to the old saying, you're only hoping to contain him, but that's really what you're hoping for. And then if for any reason Chris Middleton is off his game for a handful of games in the series, then who's going to be that second scorer to step up behind Giannis if it's not Middleton? That's the only question. It's as you kind of look at it, it looks like a roster of really good players around two, you know, a superstar and then another star and then a bunch of good to, you know, very good players, but who could it be if that? And then, of course, you know, we're sitting here towards the end of February. We've got 2 months to go in the regular season. Health, that's always going to be a concern because I think that's going to be the big thing that matters in the playoffs is health and matchups.
We're talking with Keith Smith. You can find his work at Yahoo Sports as well as NBC Sports now.
If Middleton, you know, he's having such a great year. He is having an all-star everywhere, the all-star spot that he got. But if he's not going to produce in the postseason, then it's like, you know, what are we doing here? He better produce. He better not have any dip offs. I want to think that Middleton has taken another step in his career, and that we're finally going to find some consistency, and he's not going to disappear in any playoff games.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, he might have an off game here and there because he's still primarily a jump shooter, and that happens to jump shooters. Even the best ones have an off night here and there. But what he's been able to do now that impresses me, and this really started last season, it has continued into this year, is when he can impact games when the jumper's not falling. Now he can get himself into little shorter shots and closer in. He makes plays of the passer that he wasn't able to make in prior years. And his defense is always pretty solid. And, of course, we know if the Bucks and the Celtics meet, I still think he's somewhere around 95% shooting against Boston from that series a couple years ago and continuing on. So we'll, for whatever reason, that shade of green brings out the best in him.
Keith, I was listening to some Los Angeles sports talk radio, and all the conversation yesterday was actually about Giannis as well. He came out with the quote, I think it'd be amazing to, you know, talking about playing with his brothers, spending time with his brothers, saying he would love to team up in Milwaukee, L.A., whatever, that'd be awesome. Now, you have more connections than a lot of people. Do you think that there's actually a realistic chance that if the Bucks don't win a title this year, because we all agree on this show at least that it's kind of title or bust. I mean, Kevin Durant comes back next year. We'll see if it works out with Kyrie Irving, but the Nets are going to only get better. Do you think that it's kind of championship or bust, or could you see Giannis walking away even with the Supermax deal, kind of like Anthony Davis did, kind of like we've seen guys do, or do you think he spends his entire career here in Milwaukee?
I think the entire career is such a hard thing because every time you feel like that's
right,
going to be the case, a guy changes something out. But I don't think he leaves when he's a free agent in a couple summers from now, because I think what you'll see it more likely, because this is just how it goes in the NBA, he'll sign that Supermax. Anthony Davis is the first guy to turn that down and walk away from it, which kind of tells you where he felt about the Pelicans. But I think Giannis will sign that, and then if a year or two into it he's not happy, he'll just ask and force the trade. That's just, you know, that's one of the unfortunate realities of how the NBA works. But I see all these people saying in the summer of 2021, the Lakers are going to sign Giannis, and when I look at it, and I'm like, you're going to have Anthony Davis on the books for $37 million,
right.
$38 million. LeBron's on the books for $41 million. The cap's not going up that much. Where are you coming up with the cap space to be able to do this? And that's, and maybe LeBron at that point, he's got a player option. Maybe he opts out and says, all right, I'll take less for the first time since I went to Miami. I'll take a little less and make this work to, you know, drag my career another 3-4 years in with these two guys taking over. But I think it was more for Giannis. He looks at it and says, well, my one brother's here with me now. My other brother's in L.A., And I think he's just speaking from that level of, you know, I'm just talking about where my brothers are. But what you're seeing already, which is unfortunate for Bucks fans, and I really don't try to take a part in because I don't like it, is all this endless speculation of, you know, well, he's going to go here, he's going to go there, right? And he's not a free agent in a couple months. He's a free right. agent in a year and a couple months. And now that's such a challenge for fans to listen to that. Pelicans fans went through that with Anthony Davis. So, you know, everybody harped on where's he going next? And I was like, well, why has it got to be a next? So you kind of feel for Milwaukee fans, and you're sitting here looking at it as, yeah, we're this historically great team with the best player in the league right now, and all everybody can do is talk about how he's going to leave in a couple years. That becomes a thing where you really got to look through that and say, all right, what are we doing here? Let's enjoy this in the moment where it's at and not spend all this endless speculation about where he's going. But, you know, of course, you're keeping an eye on it because every team in the league is angling for enough space to sign him, but that's let's deal with that a year from now versus, you know, today.
That must be a small market thing because here in Milwaukee, you know, we're wondering, is Christian Yelich going to stay here long term, or, you know, the Brewers going to be able to afford him? That we've lost some players because of, you know, we couldn't afford in baseball because we couldn't afford them. And, you know, the Yankees or other teams offered, you know, the Zach Greinke's and Prince Fielder's more money. And I think that we have that fear factor that, you know, some of these guys are going to go once the check is due, these guys are going to go for a bigger market.
We can't have nice things.
Yeah, we can't have nice things in Milwaukee.
Yeah, it absolutely is 100% a small market thing. Now, the only thing I'll say in the NBA, the great thing is because it's because of the visibility of the players and the fact that they play for their national teams and things like that, we've seen many guys become superstars in small markets. Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, they were superstars in Oklahoma City, which may be the smallest market in the entire, you know, in the entire NBA. And I think that's important to keep that in mind. I think what gets discounted is the fact that how much these guys care about weather and, you know, the fact that everybody lives in LA or LA adjacent in the off season. That's, you know, where the, you know, 90% of the league, you know, spends their summers. It starts to look like, you know, what's there. But I think the difference with Giannis too, he's an international player. We've seen time and time again over the years, those guys just think a little bit differently. They tend to come into the league, find a home in one place, and then they want to stay there because that's their home. Man, we forget. We you know, grow up wherever we grow up in the country and think, well, it's nothing different of, you know, moving somewhere else. And these guys come in and they grow up very much, you know, from being children to adults in one place in the United States, and that's home for them. So that's very hard to walk away from. This isn't as simple as saying, well, I want to go play there. So I think those things, when you add them all up, he just seems like a little bit of a different guy who's not, you know, focused on, I got to get out of here and I got to get to L.A. or I almost said New York, but when was the last time they landed a big free agent? It's been a very long time.
Right. They're all going to Brooklyn, if anything. One last question for you real quick, Keith, is the biggest surprise – kind of for me, this NBA season, I mean, there's been a couple of them. I mean, the Grizzlies are a fun story. But the Toronto Raptors, I figured come deadline time, they'd be trying to sell off maybe Marc Gasol or Fred VanVleet, you know, if they can't sign him next year, if he's going to get a big contract. But they've kind of been the biggest surprise, I would argue, in the NBA. When you look at the Eastern Conference, if you have to pick a team outside of the Bucks to reach the finals, who do you think is the biggest threat in the East? I know we kind of touched on that, but the Raptors, like, are they good enough to actually make that run again now without Kawhi Leonard? Because I love Pascal Siakam, but can he get you those grown man buckets in the fourth quarter and take over a game and close?
That's going to be what we find out. So much of the playoffs is about having the best player on the floor right. and someone who can create offense out of nothing. And we're going to find out that's what Kawhi did for them. Kyle Lowry, he had a great playoff run last year, exercised a lot of his demons, but we'll see if that, you know, can hold hold over and carry into another year. So I don't want to pick against Toronto because I think I'm so happy that they made this title defense the way they have, because we see too often these teams kind of they win a championship, a couple key pieces leave, and then they break the whole thing up and start a full rebuild. And they've done after it. But yeah, I think, to go back to it, I think health and matchups are really going to matter. And I think Boston has a real chance. They've got those four perimeter scorers that can really do a lot of things. Their bigs have held up and done things. I think they have a chance. I think Miami, if they can get Iguodala and Crowder integrated, are going to be good. And then you just, Philly, maybe they turn the corner and finally figure this thing out. They said they were built for the playoffs, not the regular season. And if that holds true, then they're going to be tough. But I think that's when you're kind of looking down the list, and I just mentioned, I think, four or five teams.
Yeah.
I think that's why Milwaukee says, yeah, we feel pretty good.
Right. If Philadelphia was able to play every playoff game in Philadelphia and the rest of the regular season, they'd scare me a little bit more. But they're just a disaster away from home. Keith, thanks so much, man. You can catch your work. You're going to be with NBC Sports, Yahoo Sports. Find him on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. Thanks for giving us a couple minutes today, man.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me. Thanks,
that was Keith Smith, and he joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.